governor of Texas said, like, yo, fuck the feds, basically, yeah. Right?
But provide for yourself. We're not just putting you on our streets. Like, that can't be a thing. There has to be, there needs to be something else. Now, you tell me, is the average person who actually applies for citizenship and goes the proper channels is ineligible to collect welfare for the first several years that they have.
Yes.
Even them.
What a baby.
Yeah. And that, I mean,
sweetie, you morbidly obese, you don't have a job, nobody wants you, no one cares for your right. Like, you didn't. And it's the same for the people who are worried about gold diggers. You ain't got no gold to dig. Like, calm the fuck down.
Hello, everyone. A little reminder, this is hashtag Team No Delusion. Nothing is edited. Nothing is polished up. Everything is raw. Everything is straight imported onto the podcast because I don't want to participate in none of that Hollywood nonsense. Everything has to look perfectly. Everything has to look fake. Everything has to look a certain way. So you'll get the raw version. A little before we go into the episode, I've been having and receiving lots of requests on information like what are my offerings right now, what's happening, what will be happening. And as I am currently kind of in a, aside from being in a rebranding, I'm trying to figure out and level up my own methods right now. So there will be another Dollar Academy. This is the money for 6 months. I'm currently practicing and working and refining methods for a discipline room. I'm becoming a butt magnet. I have redneck magic coming up. I have rural life. I have Wu Tan riches. I have everything. Everything is coming up. Be sure to be subscribed to my email list on dollaracademy.com. And if you can't find it or if it's too much effort, just hit me with a DM. Just give me your name and email, and I'll put you there on manually myself. I have lots of good stuff coming from tiny luck exponential magnet amplifications for like $9 to several thousand dollar programs. So I promise you, I'm trying to cater to as broad as possible, and I'm trying to get everyone involved. So yeah. Get involved, and I can't wait to see you.
Anyway, welcome to Fearless World Diamond and Demon series. Here we are again. Y'all probably gonna get, when you are listening to this, it means you are three episodes. Fuck Netflix. I need you to binge three episodes. The platform has updated, and I can't for the life of me figure out how to turn off the subtitles. So My patience for the stuff like this to figure out is limited. I tried editing all the subtitles. I'm like, I'm just edit them. And then after like 10 minutes in and I just had the first 2 minutes edited, I'm like, this is an episode of 1 hour and 19 minutes. If it took me 10 minutes to edit 2 minutes, I'll be here next week. So then I kept trying to figure out how to remove the subtitles, which has not been working. When you're listening this, listener, watcher, you have three episodes to binge because I am determined to upload it this week. If I don't figure it out, we'll be uploading it with bad subtitles. I don't care.
Yeah.
And there's a, right? We'll figure life out as we go. Diamond, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Much better than that. I'm not up to that.
it's just like petty. It's like,
right?
Like, I know how to operate Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, Premiere, like, and those are one of the hardest editing. And then I can't figure out this. Like, it's one of those.
Wait a minute. Are you fucking with me right now?
Am I too smart for this, or am I? Oh, like, right, did I reach a level?
Right. Am I too advanced? Like
that? I'm looking for something complex, right? Okay. That's not there.
Right. That's awesome.
Right. So, you wanted before we went live, you spoke of that we could discuss things from X and Twitter, which is probably my favorite thing right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about the border situation. Go.
Yes. Let's go. Where do you want to start?
So I start to be more anti-left people more and more, but I have to constantly pull myself back to realize these are online leftovers.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. This is not the right depiction of real life people. These are people who are chronically online,
right.
Therefore have cultivated, created chronically online leftover friends with made up personality disorders as a token, right? And a sense of hierarchy, right?
This is like, a toxic soup of sociology that we're dealing with here.
Right. on a funny level, I was thinking maybe I should, because everyone's been asking me, not everyone's been asking, but there has been a topic going on, like, how do we determine the hierarchy of the leftovers, right? Because if you're...
The hierarchy of leftovers.
Or the oppression Olympics!
I know. How do we say gold versus silver versus bronze?
Well, so silver. I thought I could make actually design a website where you just tick on whichever you are, and then it'll give you a oppression Olympic score.
Oh, like an online quiz, like a personality quiz?
Yes.
Like, what kind of Dorito are you?
Right.
What kind of leftover are you?
Right. Well, I could give it a cute name, so like they'll actually do it, and I could do it like compare it to, and then so people could put other persons, and they could see who is higher in the hierarchy.
That's true. You could do it.
Because, I mean, look what you now have is like where person X go, well, I have PTSD, anxiety, autism, and I am bipolar. And then the other person is, yeah, well, I am non-binary, queer, and manic, depressed or something, right? So like who wins?
Right. Right. We got to have a scoring system.
Right, because we all know that if you're a trans black who's autistic and also has mental disorders, like that's the top of the hierarchy.
Right.
And if you're on the higher you are in the hierarchy, the more you get to demand for others to shut up. That's why cis and people, listeners, for those who don't see me, cis white people, right? Fucking. they need to just shut up. They're on the bottom of the list. They need to just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever we go over to the new program, the software, it'll be a new program where I can actually drag videos into our screen and we can respond to that, because that's going to be fun. I have a whole fucking list of things to respond to.
Oh, my God.
So, but let me tell you about my experience right now in the ex-Twitter world in regards to the border situation.
Yeah.
Let me put my hand brace on. So obviously, one of the downsides that first happened when Governor of Texas said, like, yo, fuck the feds, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck the feds. We are defending the border, is that the more right-leaning center and right-leaning online space went like, hell yeah, and yes, right, and civil war and whatever. To my disappointment, it created an influx of videos of convoys of 2020 depicting it as it's right now. So, right? So it's creating this momentum, which I always attribute generally to the left for putting false videos out there just for the sake of reaction. And again, to my disappointment, the other side or what the rest of the spectrum participated in as well, using videos of 2020 convoy and the Denmark, Germany, and France convoy for the farmers. And it was all filmed and used in a sense where it was just too pixelated for you to actually see the license plates, right? Which gives away European license plates are very distinguished from American.
Right. 100%.
So it was just pixelated enough, but it wasn't pixelated enough to actually to get the message across and get everyone riled up. Fuck yeah, go Texas. This is, you know, USA, et cetera, et cetera. But to my sadistic entertainment and amusement, the leftovers responded as a majority to this closing the border situation with if you had to walk 800 miles, would you want to be met with a sandwich or with a gun? Meaning, like, would you want to be welcomed and, like, you know, taken care of versus being met with a gun? Yo, fuck off. You need to leave. You're not getting into this place. And I thought that was a joke. Like, no one can be this dense to insinuate that. And I was wrong. No. This is the thing with the leftovers. Every time I think we reach the basement, I find a secret door and there's a whole apartment complex under it.
Correct. Yes.
So the leftovers, that's a cute analogy. So the leftovers have this sentiment that there should not exist borders for once. Mm-hmm. And people from worser countries or worser circumstances mm-hmm. should be allowed in the country because, and almost like they deserve a place in this country as a reward for the long journey they did to get here.
Yeah.
Now I want to preface this with, I am a legal immigrant, right? This is, well, it's your favorite opinionated sloth. I am almost six figures in becoming, like, I'm going for my 10-year green card right now. It's an extremely tedious, it's extremely expensive process. I'm wondering if I'm now either seeing too much into it or not. If we're going to ignore borders, right? Borders exist to express what's mine and what's not mine, whatever it's yours or someone else's. Mm. And borders start like, it's the same thing, right? It's my body has a border around it, right? You do not get to touch me. No one does get to, without my permission, right? So we understand. So when it comes to consent and the border of their body, the leftovers are all over it. Mm. Now it becomes a little tricky when it speaks of, where is the boundary and the border of your house, right? Because they're all, when we spoke about that, when it comes to gun retribution almost, or a gun reaction, like if a burglar comes into your house and you shoot them, then you should have made sure first what their intention were, right? So they're already, we are kind of all like, eh. And when it comes to country borders, boundaries, we're just like, no, everyone should come in here, and we should, you know, empathize with them for their harsh circumstances or where they come from or what their potential future is. What I liked initially what they did with New York, where they just put everyone on buses and dropped them in New York and be like, well, you wanted them to have fun. Yeah. But at this point now, several journalists are on it, whether even governor did anything, and it seems to be like it's all made up. So we'll refrain from concluding that. But borders, boundaries, anything, tell me.
So there's a couple of things that you touched on that I want to kind of, I guess, for my purposes, clarify and how I define them, right? When you talk about personal boundaries, they absolutely exist. And the reason why that exists is because I have full autonomy over my body, right? I'm a moral agent, and therefore I have full autonomy over what happens here. And if you do anything that threatens this, right, or I perceive it to be that way, then we're gonna have an issue, right? And the same is true with any extension of myself, right? So my property, my things, you try to steal my things, you try to grab my purse, you try to enter my house, any of those things, my family, my pets, those are all extensions of me. I have title to those things. I have receipts, you know, that show that I legitimately obtained them. They are mine, right? And so to that end, still, when you intrude and I assume the worst of you and I respond in defense of my things, that still makes sense. When you get into country boundaries and state boundaries, not quite the same. And the reason why it gets sticky is because of the word autonomy and sovereignty. You can't simultaneously be a sovereign individual and have a government that is sovereign over you.
Fully agreed.
So that's a conflict, fully right? Agreed. So we got to be clear on what that means in terms of, like, because it's comfortable to say that about yourself. It's fully comfortable and logically consistent to talk about your property that way, but it starts to make you out to be state property if you start talking about the government being sovereign over you. And so I just, that's a massive right wing argument that I just want to kind of avoid because it gets
100.
Sick. Okay. So,
but, and just touching on that, like obviously the beast is too big right now. We, because before there were governing authorities, we already had territorial lines, right? Whether it was between me and a tribe, like, you know, whether there was a clear line or whether it was a gray area, you know very well if you came too close to another tribe. And I'm not talking fucking for all the American listeners. I'm not talking about native. I'm talking about just in the world, right? We had tribes,
right?
If you would come too close and were perceived a threat by the other tribe, you would be responded to in a according matter. And that's where perhaps very clear boundaries and borders started.
Right. And that still makes sense. And I think for the purposes of a state or a country, the border represents jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So there are laws that once you cross this line that apply, that did not apply 2 feet ago, but absolutely apply now. So you can be, and we have that in states. There's some states that have legalized marijuana and there's some that don't. There's some that have open carry and, you know, and constitutional carry states, and there's others that don't. And they'll let you know the moment you cross the line, what jurisdiction you're in and what laws apply to you from that point forward. So the border represents a jurisdictional space that says, okay, you're here. These are the laws of the land. You violate those laws and shit's going to get really dicey real quick. It's going to escalate. So whatever those laws might be, right? It could be anything from liquor to cigarettes to marijuana to guns. It doesn't matter. This is the law here. So now you got to play or get the fuck out, right? There's mostly a lot of reciprocity between the states. And nobody really says anything when it comes to California. I mean, they complain, but they don't really do anything. There's no law that says you can't come from California to Arizona. We complain about it. But at the end of the day, there's a reciprocity agreement that says you can literally come from California, move to Arizona, set up residency. And the process is 5 minutes long. You know, so all the states allow you to just move around. And nobody ever says, y'all Californians are stealing Arizona jobs. Like nobody ever says that. You know, but people do complain about the cultural shift that happens when Californians leave and go to other states, right? And so we're experiencing something very similar when it comes to immigration, where you have well-meaning people that leave California because it is, in fact, oppressive in terms of taxes and regulations, et cetera. And they're just like, I'm leaving everybody the fuck alone, keep my head down, work my job, do my thing, and not fuck with anything here. I like it here. I want it to stay like this, so I'm not voting it out. Right? I'm keeping my head down. That'd be something like me. Then there's people who move and they're like, yeah, I don't like the regulations and the taxes in California, but I also want a bunch of liberals to do the bunch of liberal shit. And it makes it, you know, California again. So you have those two. That's not much different than any other immigrant, right? Any other immigrant's going to come in and have a political agenda in mind or not at all, right? One's going to be like, I'm just going to keep my head down. I'm going to work and I'm going to leave this shit alone because I like it. It's not home. And that's a good thing, right? So I'm not trying to fuck with that. Then there's the people who do come in and they do have an agenda and they do whatever it is they do, right? And so the issue that I think a lot of people have with immigration at the end of the day boils down to that piece. And then, of course, our massive welfare state. So our expanding welfare state. And the welfare state should have been fought a long time ago. And the Republicans and conservatives basically gave up on it. And said, well, it is what it is. And fine, we'll help Americans, but we're not helping anyone else. And they keep doing that. Well, we'll let this happen, but then we stop here. And they can't stop it. It's a runaway freight train if you don't just end it, you know? So it keeps coming back and biting them in the ass. And then they're like, well, we can't afford the immigrants anymore. They're not really part of a large tax base that's contributing, you know? So how are we going to pay for them in terms of public services? That puts a major strain on our public services. Right. You outsourced all of the things that should have been private industry to the government.
Per always. Exactly. Like it always comes back to that.
That's correct. And so the real beef is so I ask people all the time, would you still have beef with immigrants if there wasn't a welfare state? And it's hard for them to say yes, because it's like, what's going to happen? They don't take your money. They don't do anything. They can't. They have no political recourse anymore. And there's really nothing to entice them to come. Right? So it's kind of like, why aren't you attacking the welfare state then, if that's your real beef, rather than,
right,
you know, that's like getting mad at the bear for eating the shit that you left at the picnic table. The bear took it because that's in the bear's interest. But like, you didn't have to leave the jar of honey wide open on the fucking picnic table either. Like, you know, so that's kind of where I'm at on that. It's like, and I don't have any issue per se with the immigrant who comes here and does the thing. Right. And I don't know.
So I do, by the way.
Okay.
I have a problem with immigrants just coming for the sake of coming. I don't mind them wanting a better life, because, again, fresh legal immigrant here myself. Right. I have a problem with them coming through means that the current country has dictated are should be upheld to enter the nation and become part of that nation.
Okay. So then the issue is a matter of reforming it. I mean, certainly you could at least be a proponent of reforming the system to where it doesn't cost six figures to get in. I mean,
look, this is the thing. I am very much for, and I'll always go back to it not being a government or a federal or whatever, but whether it's private, I am for paywalls. Because I think places who don't have paywalls, whether that's a financial paywall or some other sort, right, are places we don't want to be. Right? The moment you can, the moment everyone is allowed in a club, everyone's inclusive, I can tell you per default that club is shit.
But at the same time, the United States was largely built on free entry. There was an altar call at one point because it was a failing nation, and we put the beacon out and said, anybody, send your poor, your weary, your huddled masses. And they certainly did. Every reject that came here was part of it and industriously built this country's economy.
Absolutely.
So in essence, and that was before the welfare state and the warfare state and the central banks. So before we had all that, everybody who came here just put their head down and said, okay, I'll just, at least it's not where I was coming from, which was absolute shit. You know, I mean, so it's not to say that the immigrant per se is not capable, that even if there was an open altar call to come here, if there was nothing, for you other than a blank slate for you to build on, it would attract a different crowd, right? It would attract a different crowd.
For sure.
The thing is it's like, it's not just, there's nothing really free in terms of like stuff. You're free. You're free to do whatever you need to do, but understand that so is everybody else. So move accordingly. And that's kind of how it shook out in the early days, right? With far less technology and far less of anything.
Absolutely.
And I think for me, it's the immigration issue has gotten to the point where it's like, well, if you're going to choose a economy based on debt and a welfare state, then there is no recourse. Like you have essentially created an open air prison. You can't let us go either. You can't afford to lose wealth. You can't afford capital flight. That's why they've jacked up the price to expatriate from the United States, right? It's become more expensive to leave.
And I promise we will jump right back into the conversation and the episode. But in the meantime, I would like you to hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the share, and mostly get involved on my socials, get involved on my Instagram, get involved in the conversation on Facebook, get on my email list. You know how much I have been, let's say it, ostracized and removed from certain spaces. So if my Facebook one day disappears, you won't know where to find me. So get on my email list on dollaracademy.com. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, snap a little picture of it, do a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, tag me. I will absolutely reshare, and any feedback and everything is possible is very welcome too. Thank you so much. Now let's go back to you.
And more difficult for Americans to actually get out, because now you've trapped me, my productive ass, here, and you've now made it so I have to pay to leave just as much I have to pay to come in. And my thing is this, And I think this is the what people don't quite get is that people are like, well, you don't know what you're getting with immigrants. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but I also don't know what I'm getting when you pop out seven kids. What am I getting? I mean, am I getting a future serial killer? Am I getting a future, you know, welfare queen? I don't fucking know. But you're popping them in here. And every single one of them are entitled to all of the shit that's here. And that's just that's just by virtue of the fact that your vagina happened to be here on their birthday. So, like, I mean, that was no accomplishment. You didn't even walk the 800 miles. You just fucking, one day you're not here, next minute you are. You got fucked into existence. And for me, it's like, fine then. Why aren't you getting naturalized? Like, why aren't you going through a process to actually qualify for this shit? And that's my
fully agree.
And
fully
I like
agree.
If we fully did agree. Something like that, I would feel it would be more equitable than somehow you were born into a privileged class of people by virtue of your mom being here. Like,
absolutely agree.
And I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like I was talking to you about earlier on Facebook was owning property, paying taxes, and having skin in the game entitled you to vote. But simply existing and being, you know, a bump on a log where you're 30 years old suing your parents for birthing you and living in their basement, you can also vote? You know, like, I'm just like, I don't
fully agree.
You know, it's like.
And I am too close to, and I want to endlessly emphasize how much I am anti-government while also simultaneously holding unfortunately, this is the system that we're having to deal with, right? So how within those parameters, how could that look? Because not how should that look, how could that look?
Right.
East Europe is a great example for that. When we're in 2024 right now, I think just 2 years ago, don't pin me down on the number, we had the Syrian refugees, right? Like flooding. Their end goal being West Europe, but obviously, you know, they're them landing everywhere in between. And as part of being part of the European Union, basically has said that every country has to accommodate X amount of refugees, right? Yeah. So I believe, and it was different. It was based on size. It was based on capital, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, let's say, I don't know how many it was, 200, several thousand, right, in Czech Republic ended. They got the most basic housing, and that's kind of it, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened is that the refugees started complaining that they wanted more, like the German refugees had, right? So in Germany, the refugees gotten, like, proper housing, using air quotes here for the listeners, they gotten their iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. And East Europe doesn't have that capital, nor does it have the policies for that capital to be distributed in that sense. Right. So the governor, similar to governor, we don't have the exact labels like that, but I want to say it's a prime minister, but don't pin me down. He said literally, if you're not happy with what you get here, then go to where you do think you should be happy. Right?
Yeah.
So resulting in them actually leaving to Germany.
There you go.
And definitely, so within the container that is the current government, and the government is responding by creating housing, and in this case, like the hotel in New York, right? That's been occupied now, et cetera, et cetera. I'll forever argue that welfare needs to be earned.
Right.
How are you going to get yourself out of this situation? How are you participating? How are you contributing?
Right.
And definitely, so that's even for the inner people who are already here.
Right.
But definitely not for the fucking outer people without any, like, sense of you have to go through, you just get it by just arriving. Like, that's absolutely batshit crazy to me.
No, it is. It is. And the thing is the average person who actually applies for citizenship and goes the proper channels is ineligible to collect welfare for the first several years that they have it, even though they're citizens. And that's even after they were residents for several years paying taxes. And still after that, they have another waiting period. So it's like there is a legal safeguard for all of this. And yet they're not, they've completely let it down. right?
So yes. It's like, and for the listeners, we need to elaborate on that. If you apply through the legal means for a residency, not even citizenship, residency, so a worker visa, a green card, or any various forms of that, you have to be sponsored financially by someone or a entity. So if a company wants to, you know, hire you from out of country, they're financially backing you, saying that if this person loses their job, if this person gets in any, you know, financial trouble, we are financially responsible. And in my personal case, going for a green card, I had to have a financial sponsor. And this is ironic because, and I'm going to details here right now for a second. The financial sponsorship needs to be, I want to believe that the other person who's financially sponsoring you needs to make $22,000 a year annually. Doesn't matter if they're singular or if they have a, I made that every month before I came here because I had a big launch and they would not accept my money. No, someone else needs to sponsor you. I'm like, but look at all these bank receipts. I made 100K that year before. Like, again, I was pumping because I'm pumping courses, I'm pumping products. And I'm like, what y'all are expecting for a month, for a year, I made that every single month for the last year, right? And they're like, no, it has to be an external party. So someone else needs, and it's different per different visas. That's what I'm also going for, a different visa now, right? So, but the sponsorship, you are not eligible for any welfare or any help by government, food stamps, whatever it is. The person who sponsored you, air quotes for the listeners, is financially your backup. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So on paper, it looks like any other immigration policy. It does. It looks like most other countries. Like, it's not really that abnormal. But bureaucratically, it is a bit congested. And I think, if anything, getting rid of the bureaucracy would help, you know, a lot. But I also think, like, the idea that somebody would come here, again, it goes back to the fact that it's like, okay, but you literally process this person and strip them of any eligibility for welfare. So why is it that the person who's being productive, right, and is saying, yeah, I'll stay here even if you don't give me all of the privileges of a citizen out the gate, and I have a waiting period still. Yeah, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. I'm good. I'm happy to just be here. Thank you. Head down, go to work, right?
Right.
Why is it
right.
that person can do that, but the person who comes here and has nothing and intends to do nothing, right, is given everything? So it's like, I think that's the issue. And I think when, you know, what Greg Abbott did was he put up razor wire essentially to block his border. And it's, you know, and it's because people were coming in. And at one point, I think even Ron DeSantis flew a bunch of, you know, illegal migrants to the Hamptons up in New York, up near upstate New York or something like that. And like to like, or like Martha's Vineyard or something like that, like some really bougie area. And it's like, and they were like, oh, we can't have that here. And the thing is we're all, you know, you're all are fucking about the shit until it's time mm-hmm. to put it in your backyard. And then all of a sudden you don't want wind turbines, you know, in your fucking lake, and you don't want migrants just sitting there kind of wandering, you know, wandering around your streets. They don't want that there. They want it over there. And where over there is not here, you know? And so the hypocrisy of the policy makers and the advocates you can at least say about a conservative, they're being honest. They don't want him here. They don't want him in anybody's backyard.
Right. And we spoke of the hypocrisy of the conservative or the right wing last time, right? Like, if you are extremely anti-abortion, you better fucking pull your money where your mouth is and start helping financially and physically, put your skin in the game for those who do birth children, right? So this is not we are, you know, we're just pointing out the leftovers, even though I have an absolute fetish for that. But so the leftovers, no skin in the game, because they tend to all be poor. Right, they're all broke. They're all stuck in victim Olympics. Right. And we need to start again in an ultimate beautiful world. We need to start having skin in the game, especially on political level. again, so yeah, you are anti-abortion, start opening your home for fucking kids. And again, regardless of what my opinion is about that, right? Yeah. You are pro-immigrants, you better start fucking, because they're going to pull up. I'm going to make sure that you pull up.
Right.
Right?
So, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Is it's like, I mean, if you can't provide for yourself, we're not just putting you on our streets. Like, that can't be a thing. There mm-hmm. has to be, there needs to be something else. Now, you tell me, I mean, that's the thing, right? If you have a sponsor, so for example, you actually have a cousin who lives here. He has a house. He's fully willing to put you in his house. Mm-hmm. There, that's a whole different ball of wax. Like that mm-hmm. is complete. I mean, I don't give a fuck where you're from. If mm-hmm. you got a cousin that's here and it's fine mm-hmm. and you've got a house and everything's cool, then that's it. You got a place to stay. You got, you know, and that happens, right? That's something that's very common amongst immigrants, I guess, absolutely. As a separate culture, is that they, you know, they network when they get here. Mm-hmm. Koreans absolutely. Go to a Korean church. They have a Korean this, and you know, Vietnamese, same thing.
And Chinese, this is the worldwide, thing. Right? West Europe, all the fucking right. Polacks and all the right. fucking East European, that's Bulgarians, right. Romanian, Czechs, we're they, all in the same.
They do yeah. the thing where it's like they get here, like, you know, I mean, I have friends from Serbia who literally went to a Serbian Orthodox church, found all the Serbs, and then yep. networked with them, and they find jobs, yep. they get a job, they get the, you know, they do the thing, they and they get set up. And there's somebody who's already been here for several years, a team of people, and they're like, yep. this is, let me give you the lay of the land, I'll give you a full orientation on how to set your shit up, we'll get you a driver's license, we'll get you this, we'll get you, and they help them. They literally mm-hmm. serve as the welcoming committee, and they literally serve as the orientation committee to get them onboarded to how they need to be. And then they get on with their life, right? They start a business, they start working with a family member, then they branch off and they have their own thing. They do that. And it's like, and I have no problem with it. Like, that's a thing and I'm for it. I mean, I wish mm-hmm. more Americans would do that for themselves, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The reality is that most Americans do not network, and we don't interwork with each other and do that, you know?
But like, let's even talk about how that would look, right? So right. you are, let's say you live in fucking Hicktown, and everyone, I live in Hicktown, so I know, I'm a hick, I'm a hillbilly, I'm a redneck, whatever, like, so it's not a derogatory term, but I am financial free, right? So coming from a Hicktown where you don't have financial resources, nor the job opportunity, let's say your uncle lives in a state, whether that's hick or a city, that has created a, you know, a business or is part of a business, you should, being invited, live with cousin, uncle, whatever, to learn how to actually survive and thrive and succeed
yeah.
in yeah. this culture, in this economy.
And that should be a quick process. That should be a fairly turnkey process, because if you already have certain things lined up for yourself when you get here, you should not be waiting in the same line as people who are like, yeah. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. I was just absolutely. Told to be here. You know, I yeah. got smuggled in, you know, in a fucking clown car. It's like, no, you, this one is like, no, I actually have friends and family that know me from the village who've been there for years. They're sponsoring me, you know, and it doesn't have to be an H-1B. It could just be them. It could be the church, you know, for all I care. Absolutely. I don't care, absolutely. But it's like, absolutely. But that means you have a network and you have somebody to trace them back to. And if mm-hmm. things don't work out, then yes, they do get deported, whatever. Okay. But like, if they do have a job lined up and they have everything, it's like,
absolutely agree.
They were never going to hire. They didn't take your job. They were mm-hmm. always going to hold the job for one of theirs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They were. You were never eligible for the job. So like, if they didn't take right. a job from you, they created one for their people. Which is like
right.
its own absolutely. Thing. Like, and that's awesome. Like, and that, you know, that's the same thing as like, you know, Donald Trump hiring his son and his daughter. And it's like, well, yeah, he yeah. created that job for them. That's not for others. That is for them.
So and let's point them. Out that specific hypocrisy that from the right in this case, right?
Right.
And I want to illustrate in the Netherlands, in Germany, in the UK, in France, us East Europeans are being perceived as air quotes the Mexicans to America. And everyone's always like, oh my God, you can't say that. No, let me be very fucking clear. Us East Europeans are good for cock sucking, for prostitution, or for extremely physical cheap labor. We either clean the houses and the hotels, yeah. or the men do all the horrible, disgusting construction labor, factory farming, for an amount that no Western person will ever accept doing it for. Right?
Right.
And in the West, this becomes a complex situation right now, but it's different skills, a similar situation where Western people don't want to participate in certain jobs, or they want to enjoy the cheaper rates of these of our cultures that bring that, yeah. And then complain there. But what are all these people doing here?
Right. Well, you can't have it both ways, right? Like, yeah,
no.
It's like
no.
And that's, you know, I mean, that happened. What I think that happened in like, was it Dubai, somewhere in the Emirates, where it was like everybody's so stupid rich, mm-hmm. nobody wanted to be a trash collector, so they started offering the job to anybody, and they were paying top dollar for it. Like they were paying like. It was like $75,000 or $100,000 just to collect trash because nobody was willing to do it. And it's like, okay, right. So then you have immigrants coming in. I mean, I think there were even Americans at one point willing to do it. They're like, fuck it. I'll collect trash for $100,000.
And let's talk about Dubai immigration for a second, because Dubai immigration is very specific. So Dubai, like if you as a, first of all, you have to make at least $10,000 a month.
Right. You got to be loaded.
Second of all, your obese people are not welcome, and you get free luxury gym membership if you do immigrate to Dubai, and you're obligated to use it.
Nice. Okay.
Right? So so people are always like, "Oh, so harsh." Like there's a reason why Dubai's living standard is this high. And a short backstory for those I believe it's the father of the current creator of Dubai, I'm using amateur word here,
yeah.
Started Dubai as a haven, harbor, but there was nothing. Then father died, son took over, and kind of expanded and made this country, right, mm-hmm. with its borders and its therefore requirements. Mm-hmm. So that's the complete opposite. Like, they're like, you're poor. You're fat. You're not welcome here. Like, there's not even an opportunity for you to live here. You can visit.
You're poor. You're fat. Fuck off.
You're poor. You're fat. You definitely cannot be both.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. It's but I mean, you know, they also have, you know, they also import a lot of people from the Philippines to be their maids and stuff.
Sure, take their passports. Absolutely. Right, because the 10,000 a month people are not going to do that.
No, right. They're above it. So it's like, I mean, and so it's gotten to that place. But it's like, that's the thing is, it's like, you had no problem with your Peruvian live-in nanny, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. you have a problem with everyone else. And it's like, okay, but either, I mean, and well, part of the problem is that the United States doesn't let them work. So that's an issue, right? Like, they're not allowed to work. So nobody's allowed to hire
Absolutely.
Them, which is
Absolutely.
Also an issue because that's not Absolutely. Their fault. If, in fact, they yeah. wanted to work, they should
Absolutely.
Be absolutely given a work visa immediately.
Absolutely.
Right? So, like,
instantly. Absolutely.
Because
you are robbing them
right.
of making income and therefore taking care of themselves. You're literally saying, right. no, you're not allowed to take care of yourself.
Right. That's not okay. Like, you don't right. get to do that. Like, I think if you said, okay, I am giving a work visa to people who come in. If you can find a sponsor, if you apply for a job, I'm not even going to put a cap on it. Because right now, H-1B visas have massive caps on it. They only allow like a very small amount. So no caps. If you want to hire somebody from, you know, from Montenegro to do your web development, great. Hire them. They can stay in Montenegro. They can come to the United States. I don't give a shit. They get a work visa and they work in the United States. They pay U.S. taxes. I don't give a shit, right? It's that simple. Like, if you've got a job lined up, to me, if you've got a job lined up, that's your way in. Like, to me, that should just be a fast track in, you know?
Yeah.
And you should be willing to let them do it because that job ain't for you anyway. You know, like...
Right. And to continue to point out the hypocrisy on the right... These people aren't taking your job. They're taking the job that you created. A culture feels too good to do the jobs.
And there is evidence to that effect. They keep saying, you know,
100.
Yeah, that exists. Like there was a point where there were farmers in like the Fresno area of California, in that Central Valley area, where they kept upping the hourly wage to get anybody to pick their fruit, strawberries and tomatoes, I think. They ended up allowing half their crop to rot because Americans would not show up. They yeah. simply would not
and,
show up.
And of course, this is in California. Like, yeah, of course.
$16 an hour, $20 an hour, $24 an hour. Nobody was, it's like, okay, $24 an hour, that's basically, you know, you're looking at, $50,000 a year and you won't pick a fucking strawberry? At that point, it's like, then take the damn immigrant. Like, are we just not getting strawberries?
For $9, under the table, who works more hours than you will ever fucking work in a right.
So you see what I'm saying? I think that's the issue, is that you have two separate buckets in which you have the person who, and it ruins it for everybody. So it's the same as Me Too, right? Like, and it's the same as everything else, where it's like you created this movement, right? And then now you have people who are like the people who are actually willing to do this the right way and were just looking to keep their head down and work. Now they're getting lumped in with the traffickers and the ne'er-do-wells and the cartel members. They're all getting lumped together as the same. And that's mm-hmm. shit, because it's like, it's no different than the Me Too thing. It's like, oh, well, I said this and now all men are rapists because I said so. It's like, what? How did we get there? You know, well, because you created a movement around it and now you made it so that we can't trust anybody. You know, I heard somebody say this similarly about, and I know this is going to bite me in the ass, but I'm going to say it anyway. the idea of diversity hires, right? That you hire somebody simply because they are Black or because they are Asian or because they are this, right? And so now you're not looking at their merit. And then people are like, okay, but if you didn't hire them because they were good, they were the best at whatever, now you've got everybody else looking at them like, am I safe? Like, is this going to be okay when they cut my fucking chest open and take out my shit?
So this is what's happening. There's the diversity hire movement is starting to have its own bite in the ass right now, where the diversity hired people are speaking up, where it's like, okay, so I was the diversity hire. And what does realistically look like is that everyone's stealing my ideas. I have no idea what most of the time these people are speaking about, right? Because it was clearly above her level. And I respect her transparency on that. Like, I'll again, when we're in the new software, I can pull up the video and have the videos play on the... and they're like, no one wants to necessarily be friends with me because, you know, I've been hired from up above. I'm not hired into the culture. I don't even am part of the culture, right? I just applied and I got the job because she was a non-Mayo peer. So not white. I don't know what the fuck she was. Right. So that's starting to get cycled back now.
Yeah.
Where even the diversity hired people are like, this didn't end up how I hoped it would be.
Right. In the same way that, you know, the diversity, you know, acceptance rates in universities like Harvard, they can't keep up. They're dropping out because being Black is not enough to go to Harvard. You have to be smart as well, you know, and it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, if I got accepted to Harvard, I would have dropped out. There's no chance I would have kept up with that shit.
Yeah, I know
that. And I'm not saying this because I'm smarter than everybody else. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I went to a state college. And I went to a state college because I knew my lane, you know? I knew what my lane was and I knew what it wasn't. And it's like, and I stayed away from things that were well beyond my ability. I knew people that were going to Amherst. And they were like the super Asians who were going there with their 5.0 GPAs and their brag sheet that went out the door and, you know, their charity work and their extracurricular shit. And they were like ready to go and they're going to Amherst and Mount Holyoke. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. I'm going to a state college. Why? Because I'm not going to be a lawyer. I'm not going to be a major surgeon. I'm not doing anything that's moving and shaking. I'm just trying to live my best life over here. Okay.
Right.
And I like the life balance. I like being able to go out from time to time and not say no to everything, you know? And it's like, I wasn't a party girl, but I wasn't a homebody either. Like, I had some life and I'm like, I wasn't willing to go that far. And it's like, but there were people that were, and those people should get Harvard
absolutely.
And Yale. And absolutely. People like me absolutely shouldn't. And people like me know better. And then there's people who are like, well, I'll just apply and see what happens. And it's like, okay, but you shouldn't just be let in because you're Black. You have to have something else. And there are plenty of Black people who do have something else. Like, absolutely. And those people should be there. And those people follow through.
And those people are extremely annoyed with the current movement.
Absolutely. Well, that's what ended up happening at Cornell, right? Cornell University hired, admitted a bunch of Black people, but they were all from Kenya, and instead of the United States. And so the Black student body started protesting that they weren't accepting American Blacks. And they're like, okay, but the Blacks from Kenya are like math super geniuses, right? and their test scores are insane. And
they're the Asians Africa, right?
That's right. And it's like, okay, but you don't, in Nigeria, and so they're coming from Nigeria and Kenya. And it's like, okay, but you can't compete with them.
What the baby?
Yeah. And that, I mean, it is what, and so it's not because you're Black. It's because you don't have what they have. Okay. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you, but the Nigerian is kicking your ass right now. And it is what it is. Like, you know, so it's like, I think that's the thing, is it's when you start to do that and you take merit out, it makes people inherently more cynical towards everything. And you start to think bad thoughts, right? I think Charlie Kirk was talking about that. It was like, you can't help but start thinking bad thoughts, because it's like, what else am I meant to base this on then? You based your decision on race. So now I got to base my assessment on race. You forced 100. Me into a position to where I now have to be a racist? Like, this is bullshit. Like, what the hell?
And this is the same for the immigration situation, right?
Correct.
So you are allowing immigrants, not allowing, you're forbidding them to work,
right?
Forcing them to live on welfare because right. they're immigrants.
Right.
Now you're forcing the external people to hate them because they're immigrants.
You created a resentment that wasn't there. Like that, yeah. The government yeah. created that. And so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, when we think about policy, right, if you're going to keep this shit up, then, yeah, you're going to have to do something to mitigate the intake of all of these immigrants. You're going to have to do that. But you put yourself in that situation. Like, you did this to yourselves, political class. Like, you set it up this way. And it's like, and if you don't see that this is how the system is designed, then, you know, then you don't belong in office, because you can see the mistake from space. Like, this is that big, you know? And I think there has to be a balance in how it's approached, because you are dealing with people. Like, I don't want to dehumanize a bunch of people who didn't know any better, you know?
Sure.
And I think Absolutely. They were sold a bill of goods. I do. I think they were told something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With no worldly experience, right? This was not some premeditated thing where you have a random woman in Honduras being told, you know, to come up to the United States. And she's thinking, well, it's better than getting killed, because I just watched my brother get his head mounted on a fucking spike. So I'm over this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'll get out. If you're telling me this is the way to get out of Honduras, then this is the way I get out of Honduras. The problem is that they can't seek amnesty if they're going multiple countries, right? Amnesty is for the next country over, to seek safe haven. So you can't say you're seeking amnesty all the way from fucking Central America to the United States when you had to skip several countries to get here. So that's a bit, that's a non-starter. Right. That's a non-starter. And then if you're going to come here and you have no one to sponsor you, again, you have no plan when you get here. That's also a problem. I mean, look, if you told me, Kelly, I need a place to stay, I'm moving to Phoenix, right? Okay. I would expect that you'd have a plan on how you're going to get back on your feet. Like, what's your plan?
Well, let's play this out. No, let's play this out.
Yeah.
Okay, so me, Bara, right? I've been living in the U.S. Life, you know, whatever happened. I get divorced. I get singled. You lose my job. Therefore, I have to leave my house, right? Or I'm calling you Kelly. Tring, tring. Hi, Kelly. It's your bad bitch legendary Slav. Catching you up on life, this happened. Mm-hmm. Can I stay with you yeah. or help?
Yeah.
Then what do you say? So what do you request of me?
So then I say, okay, yes, I need you to give me what your plan is on how you plan to get back on your feet, or what you need from me to get there, right? And this is me there as a go. Friend, right? This is me right. as a friend. So I actually give a shit. You're right. not a stranger right. to me. You're like somebody I actually care about. So I'm going to say, what do you need from me to get on your feet? What is your plan to move forward? How long do you see that taking, right? And how does this all line up? And then I assess if that's a sound plan or if it's like, that's not going to work. you know, like,
right.
It has to
be. So and again, let's playing this out. If I didn't have the life, or if the life that I'm having right now would, for whatever reason, stop, that would look like, first of all, I am so sorry to having to burden you, because that is how it feels, right? And we can go into that, whether that's valid or not, irrelevant. My plan is, if I have a safe roof over my head, perhaps if you have an extra room, or you know a family member or a friend who does, what's going to look like is that I'm going to be applying to jobs 14 hours a day until I have one. In the meantime, I'll take whatever, you know, online job I can find, perhaps, whether it's like customer service, or this is my plan. With the etiquette that, you know, I have, I'm expecting to take maybe 2 weeks, max a month, just for, you know, the things to come through. But that's my expectation. How does that sound?
That sounds fine. And if I hear of any other jobs that I can put you on, I will absolutely pass
them
away. And that would, and this is how it would look, right? That's what a sponsorship would look like.
Yeah.
And typically in these, in especially when it comes to Asians, that's exactly what it looks like. The sponsor tells you, you know, you're going to stay here for this many weeks. You're going to do this while you're here. You're obligated. I mean, and they understand that there are terms and conditions to their sponsorship, because somebody else paid tens of thousands of dollars to get you that visa. You know, I mean,
literally, this is not symbolically,
no,
literally,
this is actual. Yeah. You're looking at tens of thousands of dollars to get you that sponsorship and make it happen for you and get you here. Your ass is indentured for a while, and they know it, but they're down for that because I'm out of Saigon. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no longer, I'm not in Cambodia anymore. And that to me is worth its weight in gold. I'm happy to clean your house and help you with your, you know, with your restaurant or your dry cleaning service or your nail
for
salon,
16
whatever.
Hours a day.
Don't
I'm fine.
Still doing that here is better than anything I was doing over there. So yes, thank you. Right. So there is that. And I think the thing is they're not doing that because they're grateful to the United States. They're doing that because they're grateful to their community who is here, who set it up before them and laid the groundwork so that they could just come over and have a seamless integration into society, which is exactly what they do. So for better or for worse. And it's like, to me, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not bothered by the fact that, you know, you do or you don't speak English. If my grandma was here for 40 years and barely spoke a word of English. So it's like, but she got a job and she worked in the Japanese American community where she was she sold makeup to Japanese tourists and all they wanted was for her to speak Japanese and she was happy to do it. So it doesn't matter. I don't give a, like that whole, like, what about the national language and learn English? I'm like, dude, you're American and you can't speak English. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know, but like we start to nitpick them and I don't like that. I don't like the nitpicking. Right. It's like, I want you to have a job. I want you to be sponsored. I want you to have a network of people to come into. And if you've got that, then we're cool. Like, and it should be, that's how it should be, you know? And it's like, and it's not. And so it's like, you're letting a bunch of people just come through and then to cage them like animals, again, the humanity, right? Like, I don't like it. Like, I don't like them being hunted like wild animals. I don't like them being caged like animals. Like, you're going to have to come up with something better because something's happening where there's a message that's going down all the way down to fucking at least Central America, if not fully South America, that is saying, that's putting a beacon out that says, get your ass over here no matter what, you know? And nobody's disincentivizing this. Yeah. And so it's like, and that becomes problematic where it's like, okay, you need to have a better intake system.
Yeah.
You do. And you're going to have a way to process it, and you're going to have a way to defend the border, because it can't just be anybody and everybody. And again, I say this with the understanding that it's like, I am all for Americans getting naturalized and going through a process as well. You turn 18, you're not eligible for shit until you can pass a naturalization test. You get the same.
Right, you're on welfare and you keep fucking breeding. You're not getting any child support. Like, again, we very much agree on that. Yeah.
None of that. No, you don't get to do that. You need to go get, you need to get naturalized. You need to show that you did this. You need to meet certain requirements to be here and collect. So if you're going to collect anything, then you better make sure that you've passed all of these. You better have, you know, you need to be fully literate. You need to, you know, just like the immigrant. You need to be fully literate in English. You need to be able to speak and write and read in English. You need to be able to demonstrate these things. You need to take a naturalization test and learn basic constitutional history or whatever. You need to know that shit. And if you can't do it, then fine, you can be a resident. You just can't be a citizen. And that means there's certain things you're just not fucking doing. So your poor ass, your illiterate ass is not fucking voting. You're not collecting welfare. You're not doing shit. So, and if it's that fucking hard for you to do those simple things, having been born here, then I don't know what to tell you. I guess this is a bunch of social Darwinism, and we're just going to have to clean the slate and let it shake itself out. Take the warning labels off and let the chips fall where they may, you know?
Which I'm all for.
Well, I mean, it sorts itself out. You don't 100%. Have to. You don't have to create new systems. There's a lot of things that just sort themselves out if you just leave it alone.
Right. It's just unfortunate that it takes so long to sort out.
Yeah.
Right. Because I learned the term where people want to speed things up. I don't know what the term is. Now I'm fucking blank. Expeditionalist. Help me.
Expedition.
The expedition. Well, what's a person that's pro that?
Oh.
Expeditionalist. I'm telling you, it's an online new term. Something
oh,
like
is
that.
It?
Don't
okay.
pick me
out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's for people who are there like, look, this is just all going to go to shit. Let's speed it up.
Oh, the collapsitarians, the ones that are just waiting for the...
Oh, any version, whether it's good yeah, or bad, right. Let's speed it up.
Yeah, let's just move this along and be done with it,
right.
With the Band-Aid off, right. So to speak. Yeah.
We all see where it's going. Let's go.
Fair enough. And I mean, look, I guess there is a certain sort of nihilism to it, and it's like, okay, but then what? I mean, half the people that are talking like that are people that way over-romanticize farm living and subsistence living. You know, and I'm just like, you can't live off the fucking grid. Are you kidding me? You can't hunt. You're fucking 350 pounds and have Cheeto stains on your t-shirt. And, you know.
Oh, shit. Oh, so, well, listen, I'm in the gun community, which the gun community is very much so capable because
oh, okay.
The majority is actually rural and mega fucking fit and just has like armory.
Okay, I mean,
but,
if you're talking about the militia, if you're talking about the militia, they're much more, you know,
right.
In a position to do that. There's a lot of people who are talking their shit, and it's just like,
oh, right, just the keyboard warriors.
I don't know about you. Like, I don't think you're gonna make it a day in Mad Max world.
Well, and maybe end with that. Like, it's all the people who are in the MRA movement, right? The men's rights activists. Sweetie, you morbidly obese. You don't have a job. Nobody wants you. No one cares for your right. Like you didn't. Mm. And it's the same for the people who are worried about gold diggers. You ain't got no gold to dig. Like,
please.
Calm the fuck down.
Please, ma'am.
Don't worry about Andrew Tate's money.
Yeah, please. Top G is not worried about you, so you're not worried about Top G.
Oh my God. I had a dream about Tate.
Okay.
So I dreamed. I would never dream. So I dreamed that it was modern times plus future,
okay.
And there was some kind of civil unrest, and I can't tell in the dream how excessive it was. And the Tate brothers showed up and wanted shelter, and right. Which is goes into like all these like mental like gymnastics because I'm in the US, they're in Romania. I am definitely more of a prepper person. So yeah, I mean like I guess. And yeah, it was just interesting.
What a trip.
Now that it showed up that way. My husband was like, "So what, did you make him?" I'm like, "Yeah, I made them stay." Oh my God. Can I end up with Tate? Like, I don't know, for the people who were following him, I like the way he speaks. I am simultaneously anti-Tate, but I'm very much pro Top G. I am very much for the disciplines he stands for. But my theory is, and I shared this week with the Hub, my theory is, so I don't think he did the sex trafficking.
No, he didn't.
However,
yeah.
I if anything, he's being used as a front for something. Yeah. He does not have the looks nor the intellect to create a $100 million industry in the sex trade.
No,
that's And I'm talking specifically not when he, because people don't know how he got famous. He got famous because he was a boxer. Then he was on a reality TV show. Right. And if you look up how he looked like 15 years ago, he's an ugly motherfucker. And yo, I'm going to say something. If you manage to be sex trafficked or talked into being like, you know, pimped out by an ugly motherfucker like that, you deserve it. Like, that's a fucking hardcore comment. Yeah. So, no. So basically, he did not have the intellect nor the looks to become a pimp, and definitely not of a $100 million company or empire. So I definitely don't think he did it. I don't think he's void of participating in that and being used as potentially a friend.
Now, before we end the episode, I am confident that you wouldn't just leave without hitting like, without hitting subscribe, without hitting that share button, right? You wouldn't do that to me. I'm up in here connecting with people, wanting you to be a part of the conversation, and you would almost leave? Come on. Don't be like that.
That's my recent theory.
I can get with that. I can get with that, but definitely not like the kingpin. Like, that is so not him. That's so not him.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Nope.
I love his rantings nowadays. I love his, he's again, most emails that you see from him could be written by me. I love it. But yeah, so that's my recent theory.
That works. Okay.
Fuck, we fucking solved immigration.
Yeah, it's all set.
Okay, next. There we go. Next. Everyone, this is, we'll see y'all next week. This is the Demon and Diamond series, Diamonds and Demons series. Next week, we're solving another fucking part of the world. And, you know, we're bringing it to you. Come share, like, comment, hate, mentally hate jerk to us. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. And we'll see y'all next week.